It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, back with you on another Friday as we are cruising through the month, and it's amazing. Time does not slow down when you're busy, and it certainly doesn't slow down when I'm doing this program. I've got back with me because I didn't want to let him go because I don't know when I'll see either of you guys again, Greg in particular. Greg Vesely, for a quick history, was associate pastor at New Hope Foursquare Church from basically January of 2013 till... You had about, how many years did you have here in Salem, Greg, before you moved on?
About 6 years.
6 years. Mm-hmm. You got a lot done. And it was, for me, it was a really great time to get to know you, being on council, and you preached many times. We did men's group together, men's retreats together. And when you step away from being just in church on Sunday and maybe, you know, a Sunday school class or something, but when you spend a couple days together off and on, you know, with a bunch of guys, you know, dozens and dozens, you get a perspective, a wonderful one. And with you, because you're not only, and I use the word only carefully, you've your business sense that we talked about last week, your partner, Travis, hung on to be with us a little bit because, Travis, you're going to be heading out to California, Travis Rabbi. Greg, a lot going on in the world today, and you and I have talked about this, and I think let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Iran. Tell me what your thoughts are when you, and also Travis, when you first heard that we were hitting them hard. What was your first thoughts about that, Greg?
You know, there's two aspects. One is, you know, for national security, I understand it, right? Just it's something that they've been bullies to us for a long time, right? As in with warheads and different things. And so I'm sure there's things behind the scenes we don't even know, right? That kind of transpired. I think one thing that I understand is there was boundaries that were given. They crossed those boundaries. And I think as a country, we have to protect our people. I believe it's kind of like the house, right? The Bible tells us that us as men that we're called to lead the house, right? And protect the house. And that's our responsibility. The president's job is to protect this house as in our country. It's almost like a house, right? We're a family. And like families, we all fight too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
And so I think in that aspect, I don't know all the behind the scenes stuff, but it seems like it's been the right move to protect our country. And I know some people have different opinions, but the great thing about America, and hopefully we could get back to it as in the way America's been established, is we could have different opinions and still be friends. Well, but things are divided now.
Yeah, I'm a bit older than you two, and also from across the table to my producer as well, Hunter. I remember clearly when the Shah of Iran was deposed, Jimmy Carter was president, mm-hmm. and then of all things, the sacred embassy, you never touch another country's embassy. That is like their own country in your own country. And I remember that our embassy got taken over in Tehran, and it didn't go away. Mm-hmm. And as an 18-year-old, I said to myself, my gosh, can't we do something about this? What is going on here? And what struck me back then, and this is just my own Jake mind working, is every time we turn on those network news stations, and back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was only like five or six stations, and then before the whole, you know, satellite and everything took over. But I go, these people in Iran, there's thousands upon thousands of people always protesting every day, it looks like. Do they ever work? I mean, do these guys ever do anything? And you're just like, you know, death to America. And you know, we were held hostage. And honestly, until President Reagan came in the following year, roundly defeating President Carter. And I think this had a lot to do with this. Travis, to you as a dad, and you know, you look at this, you guys have a lot of living to do, and what's your thoughts as you watch this going on from your point of view?
I mean, I feel like we're seeing war completely different, right? I mean, you can just doom scroll on YouTube or Instagram or whatever, and you can see more of the action than you've ever seen. You know, so my heart really goes out to, you know, the armed forces. That's where kind of my first thought process was, is like, you know, some people aren't going to make it home, you know, so thank them for what they're doing for sure. But yeah, with my kids, I mean, I saw 9/11 happen, and then we're over there, and then, you know, my kids hadn't really seen that, you know, which is good, and I don't want them to see it right now with their young age, but I just worry about where we're going to be because of this, for sure. I mean, economically, that's what we were talking about before, too, is just what does this do economically, and what kind of future does this lead to for my kids, too, you know?
Very good point there. Greg, as you look at, you're an economics guy. And for a huge part of your life, What are you seeing? Like, let's just break it down for the state of Washington. What do you think this is going to do? Gas prices have gone up, but I think they're going to come down once they've got that Strait of Hormuz under control. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing?
Yeah, we're seeing that people, when they get scared, right, there's fear, uncertainty. They don't understand what's going on. They're trying to figure it out. You see stock markets. You see everything start moving. Or start clamping down, and things have kind of been clamped down. Even though the stock market's been doing decent, you still see the consumer really kind of hesitating about everything, because prices since COVID, right, have gone up. And we could talk a lot about that, where people, you know, when they have fear, they'll give their own rights away. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fear. And people right now are just afraid of spending money. They're afraid of what's going to go on and all the uncertainty. I live my life a little bit differently because of my relationship with the Lord. Is my citizenship's not here anyways, right? And so I don't have anything to fear. The Bible talks a lot about fear, and for us not to really fear, not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough to worry about itself, mm-hmm. Scripture says, but to live every day in its fullest. And so I try to live my life that way, but I totally understand those that don't live their life that way. Everything could look very doomy, you know yeah. what I mean? Everything that's going on. And when there's fear with the parents, that fear also passes on to the children, because they can feel it.
That's
they can
point.
See it.
100%. Yeah, do you sense that in your house there, Travis?
I had to take a break from YouTube.
Well, I think a lot of people sure. might need to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, we're looking, you know, for you guys, too, as you are embarking on major business stuff, you've taken it upon yourself. And you yourself have to be able to get through the fear as well. You've got to pull the trigger somewhere. Yeah. And how do you, Greg and Travis, how do you guys figure that out?
You know, one of the things is, if you live in this place of not fear and really a trust in the Lord, we believe that He connects the dots we don't. So the clients that we have, He's brought to us. You know what I mean? And right now there's more of a time and need more than ever for our services and what we offer through consulting to help these businesses really navigate through things, be more creative, because there's AI that's coming in. There's so many different things, not just the war that's going on, but AI that the people are fearing that's gonna take jobs. There's all these different things, and businesses not knowing how to position themselves. Advertising doesn't work like it used to. Because anybody can build a website within seconds now, or they can advertise, you know, and create their own, you know, ads on their own through AI. So there's so many different things. So what we're able to do is come alongside those businesses, a lot of home service businesses, but nonprofits, B2B, we do it all. And I really love the aspect that we could take a look at something from afar. Because, you know, that saying, if you live in the forest, you can't see beyond the trees, right?
Exactly yeah. right. Travis, you know, getting to the AI thing, mm-hmm. AI is not going to be able to replace a good HVAC tech. Talk to people. You know what, Travis, we've got 2 minutes left in this segment. Mm-hmm. You have a trade.
I do.
And it's very tangible. And it can piggyback onto so many other things because of what you know how to do. Talk to somebody right now, a young person or parents of a high schooler, and they're teeter-tottering about what to do education-wise. Should they go to college? Learn a trade. Talk about that for a second, Travis.
You know, I definitely at this point, because like you said, you can't replace a good technician with AI. I think trade's where it's at. I think all these schools, I had an ag department in my school when I growing up. you know, I think agriculture is super important. I think the trades are super important. I think the schools need to bring that back, right? Stop pushing everybody into college.
How long did it take you to be able to do what you do? Because I've seen HVAC people put stuff together and similar situations on my farm where we were into seriously using refrigeration, heat exchange, plate coolers, condensed heat and stuff like that. How long did it take you? And you know, we talked about Greg's background about why he pastor and a businessman. Mm-hmm. What got you into this?
So my dad worked for AT&T. He ran phone lines. So seeing him pull up in a service van, you know, it had AT&T, but a white van back in the day, I just thought that was the coolest thing. My dad has his own van, you know. He would put lawn chairs in the back. This was not legal in California probably, but he would put lawn chairs in the back and my sister and I would drive around with him. But I just thought that my dad's the coolest, man. He gets to go help people and do this, you know. So that's how I had a friend of a friend who did HVAC, and that's all I wanted to do. You know? You
grew up with it.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing illegal in California or legal in California is illegal.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had to say
you had to.
I couldn't resist. You know. All right. Visiting with Pastor Greg Vesely and Travis Rabbi. You're listening to Rural Matters. We're going to have some fun going forward.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, happy Friday to you all. Greg, you know, talk about trade with Travis, your partner there. What about you? Were you a college guy? I don't think I ever got that conversation with you over the years, right?
No, actually, I learned, you know, through books and my dad. And I went to Bible college and did some Bible college.
Sure.
But really, I don't have a degree. When I went to Bible college, it was just because I was so in love with the Word. And no one guided me in all the classes I needed to take to get a degree. So I took all these random classes I was just interested in. You know what I mean? And which is amazing, you know, just the journey that God has taken me on, you know, and the success that He's allowed me to be a part of, if it's ministry or business. And, you know, I've just come to this thing that college isn't everything what it's cracked out to be. Is it? For some people, yes. I'm not saying college is bad. If you're a doctor, yeah, I hope you went to college. If you're working on me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's going to be a gap, and this gap is the trades. So a lot of people started going to college to learn about like HTML programming, which now AI is doing that for them within seconds, right?
Yeah.
They've gone into all these other tech businesses. And what that's doing is with our home services, the old generation is beginning to retire that knows that skill set, and there's going to be a gap. When there's a gap, guess what it does?
Creates a big void.
And the prices go up.
Sure.
And so if someone is mechanical and loves putting their hands to work on things, you know, HVAC, home services, plumbing, all that kind of stuff is going to be an industry of the future. It's going to be very lucrative. Actually, one of the billionaires said not too long ago, said the next move where it's going to make billions of dollars is going to be in the HVAC, plumbing, home services space because there's going to be a need.
Yeah, no matter what, you still see apartments going up and they need what you have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to you, Travis, you know, not only are you HVAC extraordinaire, really, you are, and you know you're learning the whole end of it. But can I assume that if you had to, you could roof your own house? I mean, did you have that kind of a background as well? Not only are you good with HVAC, but could you weld? Can you do things like that, Travis?
I can. You know, my dad was very good with phone systems, but they're like we had a go-kart we were going to put together. It wasn't his thing. So I had to kind of learn to be mechanically inclined. I had a neighbor across the street, Dennis. He had all the tools. He would help me out. So I think, you know, kind of with that influence and kind of having the need to do that, I learned. I am afraid of heights, though. So I would prefer not to roof my house, but I probably could figure it out.
Just get a good harness. You'd be okay.
Yeah.
Stay off from the windy days and all of that. What do you guys, both of you, you know, Greg, you still have young kids at home.
I do. And I have 7 kids. And one of my daughters just got married not too long ago. So kind of a new time in life.
You bet.
I have my oldest daughter. She just got off the mission field. One of my other daughters got off the mission field. and they're all doing something. A lot of them are doing coffee. But I look at all my children and each one's built differently. Like Abigail, she's doing coffee, but she's also going to law school because she wants to be a lawyer. And she wants to help people that have been convicted of crimes that they actually didn't convict.
Okay.
That's kind of her heart. And she's looking at it as a ministry side of things. My sons are more mechanical. And
wonderful.
I don't think they're going to go to college. I think they're going to put their hands to work. And so every kid and every person's different. This whole mentality is go to college. You know, if you go to college, you'll get a good job and you'll get paid real well. It's not really the truth. I have friends that were, business degrees and different things, and they can't find a job. My brother-in-law, who's actually one of the top lawyers in California for contracts, me not having a degree made way more than him, probably triple than what he makes as a lawyer. Not anymore now that I've gone in business myself, but.
Oh, yeah, you're taking some interest. But, you know, both of you guys, too, we've had some amazing young people on through the 4-H programs or the FFA's Future Farmers of America. Yep. And we're seeing in my travels, doing a few remotes, like at the county fairs, Marion mm-hmm. County or Polk or what have you, this resilience, this energy with these young people that know who they are. They're not falling prey to some of the terrible things that are happening on the West Coast here with gender relation, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Greg, as a pastor, speak to young people about hope to them. We talked about that last week. And what as they look at things and they have to navigate and kind of grow up a little faster, what can you say to young people for a career and for as they look at the world and maybe they just want to hide their head under the table? What can you offer up to them?
Yeah, you know, I believe the next generation is on a vein that past generations haven't been on. I think my generation and the baby boomers, and sometimes we look at the generation now and we're like, hey, where's their work ethic? You know, there's all these complaints, right? And not too long ago, I was actually sitting in my living room. And I felt the Lord asking me to repent of some of the things I've said about the last generation.
Wow.
You know, I would say, you know, man, if they could just work harder, you know, they don't have any ambition, any of those things. And the Lord began to speak to me about something.
Okay.
And one of the things that he told me, he says, what is very important to this next generation? And I was like, okay, well, they want to experience life, mm-hmm. right? That's what they want to do. And he goes, okay, he goes, what, let's look at the baby boomer in your generation. What did you guys do? And I was like, well, we wanted to build things. We wanted to grow things. We wanted to have retirement. We wanted to have, you know, build the American dream, per se, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, this next generation doesn't care about the American dream.
Wow.
You know, anymore. Wow. What they're caring about is experiencing with people. It's more about people. And the Lord says, you've been working for a long time and you're working to build up money to maintain stuff. And they're not about stuff. They're about experiences.
Yeah.
You really, yeah, you're thinking that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You're finding that. That's very interesting. Travis, what about you? How do you feel about what Greg's saying right there?
I think that's very true. You know, like there's definitely a new American dream, right? So seeing what's out there and experiencing things, like for me, one thing that I would tell, you know, kids in high school right now is like, be proud of something that you're doing, right? Like,
right.
Like put
like
your hands.
Kids in 4-H and FFA with their cattle and projects. Go for it. Keep going.
Yeah, I have one of my daughter's friends on her softball team. You know, her brother is in 4-H and he's got 40 sheep at his house. And he's probably like, and he's 16 years old. And he's making money off of this. You know, he sold us two of the sheep, you know, and I'm just like, I want to support this kid. He's awesome, right? So seeing that, being proud of it, never stop learning, right? Like we always have to keep learning or else I just feel like you're dying if you're not learning, right? So learning, there's so many avenues to learn, especially with the AI now. You know, one thing I fear with the AI would be that people will use it as a crutch, but it's a tool, right? If you use it as a tool and you learn from it, that's going to help, right? Make everybody better.
Greg, he Travis jumped on a question I was going to ask him by the fearing of AI. Is there, should there be a little bit of a fear factor? We've got a minute and a half yet. Should we have a little bit of a fear with AI? I don't understand it very well.
I think it's a tool.
Yeah.
So I think anything that it can be used good, for good or for evil, right? And I think it's something that we have to embrace because that's where it's going. And we use AI all the time as a tool, especially in what we do with consulting. And you could do things so much quicker than you ever been able to in the past. Things that would take us like months, we could do within like hours. And so it's part of the future. I think if we allow it to take control, it can. Like what I've noticed is I've worked with some people that they really got involved with AI. And they go down this rabbit hole where it's just kind of sucking them in. And they just go to this next thing, this next thing, this next thing. And it just takes them deeper in this hole. And really, when it's said and done, they did nothing.
Uh-huh.
They think they're developing all this thing, and they didn't develop anything. And in the meantime, you know, they're not out there being a part of the world, you know, as in enjoying life and relationships and that, because they've been sucked into this, like, abyss.
It's kind of going down, you know, it's like sitting in a rock, spinning their wheels.
Yeah.
Jake, Rural Matters, Travis and Greg, back after the news.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Rural Matters, come on in. Welcome to all, and I hope everybody's had a glorious work week, and if you're still working like I will have to tonight, that's okay. Got lots to think about. All right, Greg and Travis. Greg, I want to go to you. We just got done talking about AI, but you know, we are in a political year. Mm-hmm. We've got the midterms, super, super, super important, and it seems like every election since 2000 with Gore Bush 43, it just like the level of importance keeps coming up. And in the church, we used to consider the church almost 100% maybe not so much Republican, but a constitutional conservative. Mm-hmm. And I see that fracturing. Can Washington State be a conservative state again, like, say, a type of Oklahoma or a type of maybe even Iowa? What's going on in your neck of the woods? And then Travis, he's a guinea pig. You can, you've got time to think of an answer yourself.
Thank you.
Because you're going to California. I'm going to hit you up on that one.
All right.
Here we go.
You know, it takes people to start standing up for what's right. And I think what happens is in a lot of the conservative side of things, they're more silent. You know, they're working, they're trying to put food on the table, and their voice isn't that loud. Now it's becoming louder than it ever has been. You know, and I'm not really for one party or another, mm-hmm. As in my stance. I always vote based on God's non-negotiables for my life. Everybody has their own choice, right? But that's how I vote, God's non-negotiables. And so it doesn't matter who the party is, that's how I vote. But my views always align with one party versus another, more the conservative side. It used to be in our nation where we could get along if we had different views, right? Yep. And we see that divide that's happening. And I think what's happening is people are losing sight of who we are as a country and the things that we should be standing up for. Because even the other party, right, like the Democratic Party, let's call it for what it is, they were more conservative than they are today. It seems like there's more extreme than there ever has been. And the Republicans always been more conservative, but we also see them kind of swaying a little bit, not as conservative as they used to be on there. But I think where our country is going is there's this divide, and there needs to be healing come together. Because if I look at it from a pastor's point of view, right, is we're all one people, especially the church, right? Those that come to know Christ, we're one church. It's not different denominations. It's not nationalism, Christianity. It's we have one banner, and it's his banner. And our job is to, you know, love people and show who Christ is in his love for him. And so, but can it turn around in Washington? Yeah, it can. But it's going to take people standing up for what's right. and standing up for their children too.
Yes.
See, what we forget is we have to stand up for the next generation, because who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a huge point there. Travis, you're going to the biggest electoral state in the nation at this point. California is just such a player, no matter what. I mean, they are a nation unto themselves. I was born down there, not far from where both you and Greg were, much earlier, got out way earlier. But there's a lot going on, and I assume you're gonna register and be part of the voting process down there. What challenges do you see? You're gonna homeschool your kids, for one thing.
That's one thing, yep.
Speak on what Greg was talking about, if you will.
Yeah, so like I'm sure everyone, it's a household name at this point, but Chad Bianco is running down in from Southern California. He was pretty popular during COVID. He was a sheriff down there.
And, yeah, I've seen him.
Yep. So, you know, he's running, you know, praying for him. I really like that guy. It was about freedom, right? So I think it's hard that everything's so bipartisan at this point, right? So like, instead of going off of what the people are saying and who they are, we do kind of split like this, right? You know, my family growing up, Marine Corps family, like they were always Republicans. That's just what I thought. But then, you know, like Greg was saying, we all just have to come together at this point. You know, like how do we rekindle, you know, being people and looking at the greater good of the state, whether that's Washington, Oregon, California, right? It's like one little area in Washington, for instance, dictates the whole state, and that's not good for everybody. And same for California, that matter.
Yeah, we have Portland. Yeah, Greg, were you
going to... Yeah, you guys have Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what needs to happen is the people that represent us need to represent the people.
Right.
And yep. Not issues, right? Actually, the people, the want of the people, the best thing for the people. Because that's what we're seeing even in the school systems and everything is everything's about politics.
Yep.
Why not make it more about the people and the needs of the people? Not big business, not big pharma, not big anything, but what are the needs? Because these people are supposed to be civil servants, right? And they're supposed to be the voice of the people. Really, it's voices of agendas, not the voices of the people. If you really took a look at the whole United States and you start breaking everybody up and actually talking about what's important, most of them will agree on that. But what's happened is with the news and politics, we get caught up in all those things that create division. My kids are homeschooled. The reason why is because there's agendas there that I do not want to be forced on my kids. Kind of like with the sports that's going on, right? This whole battle about, men being in girls' sports. Well, physically,
come on.
A guy's developed differently than a woman, no matter what. My wife was top basketball. She got a full ride to play for SLO, didn't end up going, valedictorian. And she's like, man, any guy that's really,
halfway there
can beat her because of their strength.
Yeah.
And so we've taken our eyes off things and onto other things that are important. But as a society, we've just kind of flipped the script.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like this, what the Bible says, right? In the end times that good will be called evil and evil will be called good.
Yep.
And that's where we're at. And this is what my kids are facing.
We're totally at that.
Yeah.
But guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. I mean, that's what the Babylonians did. They rewrote history and different things when they conquered a society. It's all about media and what's being said.
Yeah, it's incredible. I go back. I'm going to really age myself here. I was a Cowboys fan. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you guys, you and your Seahawk people, you guys are insufferable.
Oh no, I'm a Niners fan.
And I remember he had a book out when back in the early 70s, First Down, Lifetime to Go, and my folks bought it for me for Christmas. And he had daughters all the way until he had, his last child was a boy, but he talked about throwing the football with his daughters, just playing out in the backyard. And he goes, My daughter's shoulders aren't made for really throwing this ball. I mean, he there was a comment. This is well over 50 years ago.
Wow.
And I thought about that a lot lately. I remember him writing, girls play with they play in their leagues and guys do their leagues but he was just being a dad tossing the ball with his daughters, the football, NFL regulation football, and we've lost side on that. We've as you said, Greg, and it's been running through my mind a lot, that is in the Bible, but it, you know, there is nothing new under the sun, is there? Is there really? Travis, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of confusion, right? So like Greg was saying, like the media is just dividing everybody, keep them confused, keep them divided, not really focus on the real matters at hand. So, I mean, common sense, right? Like that's the saying, right? Common sense isn't so common.
it just seems like that's been thrown out. But getting back to what we talked about earlier, the young people are seeing things. Mm-hmm. I think young people are starting to recognize that the proof isn't showing up in this type of pudding. What do you guys think of that?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I see that all the time because I have college-age students at my house all the time. We do these things called family dinners.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, imagine that. Yeah.
and they we allow our kids to invite their friends, and they're all college-age, and come in there, and they want something different. They're tired of the rhetoric. They're tired of all the different division that's happening. And like I was mentioning earlier, they want to experience life.
Yeah.
They rather travel and experience things than to own stuff that they have to work and slave over to maintain stuff.
And it takes a lot to do that, Greg and Travis, you HVAC people. Yeah. You got to maintain those puppies.
Well, it is. I mean, I begin looking at my life as I start seeing the way that they're starting to live and start asking myself, okay, what am I afraid of? Losing stuff? If I don't produce enough income, losing stuff. Right. And then I work to make the money to maintain that stuff.
And get more.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you get more and then we pay to store the stuff. And then versus having experiences with our kids, with our family, with people that are friends like you.
Appreciate that. Oh, man, honestly, great. All right, last segment coming up, guys. Real Matters. Jake, Greg, Travis, hang on.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, happy Friday. God bless everybody listening. Grateful for this station as always. And in this time, Greg and Travis, we need to keep our morale up, man, right? I mean, there's a lot going on. It's a heavy, heavy time right now. But I can't say that I'm a Debbie Downer. There's a lot that is going on around Salem. Greg, your wife Liz, real estate agent out there, licensed and stuff, where you are, sort of, you're south of Seattle, both of you guys are. How are things moving out there?
You know, the
buyer's market, sellers, what are you seeing?
What we're seeing is more of a buyer's market, you know, right now, and because the inventory is high. And there's a lot of uncertainty, like when you're talking about business as a whole, because as a consulting group that we do, I mean, real estate, all of that, right? We consult different types of businesses. And so right now, people are scared to buy because of interest rates, but they're starting to come down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of inventory. You got a lot of these big guys that are developing because they're already in motion, right? So they need to do that to please the banks. And there's a lot of inventory there. So they're starting to like give buy downs on interest rates. They're starting to do whatever they can, but they're not selling that much right now. Hopefully that will turn around. But with this whole Iran thing too, you know, again, everything fluctuates. It's so interesting the world we live in, because every little thing spooks the buyer.
Oh yeah.
And whatever it is, if that's home services or real estate, you know.
Yeah.
My house went up a lot. I bought 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of equity, but I'm also seeing it from where it was. It's starting to come down compared to where it was.
Are these false positives, Greg?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're so emotional. We are not making decisions objectively.
No, not logically. It's all emotion-based.
Yeah. And so, okay, I'm bummed. Place I get gas from November, where it was well under, it was at like $289 for cash. Yeah. And now it's at, oh God, I got to check it out tomorrow. Like $380 or something like that, you know, between November and now, you know, it's gone up not quite a dollar, but,
yeah.
And it'll come down. Travis, your thoughts. You know, you're going to be down SoCal.
Right.
Boy, they don't give stuff away down there, bro.
They do not.
Yeah. Are you ready for that? Yeah. You're going to rent for a while, but what are you going to do?
We're going to rent for
a
while.
What are you looking for when you're down there? What's going to be is there anything that'll help you pull the trigger that'll make you say, you know what, honey, we should buy this place? Or is that really not in your radar right now?
You know, we're not sure where God's going to have us, you know, so we're really kind of just on this path. Like, I'm really sick of moving, so I told my wife, like, we're here for 3 years, like at the minimum, right? I can't move again. I'm sick
That's
of moving.
Blink of an eye. Time, I know it's blink of an eye.
But we've moved. My oldest daughter's 11, and we've moved 10 times since she was born. You know, so you know, we're fortunate. We have a rental property in Washington, and we have some really great renters. They've been there for a couple of years, so we're really blessed with that. My wife and I don't know. I'm not a realtor. I don't know anything. My wife saw something that the real estate is going to crash in California. And hey, if there's an opportunity for us to buy at that time, we would love to do that, right? My mom is renting currently, so if we can get her into a house too, that would be wonderful. So whatever we can do to help out there down there, but yeah, if there's a good opportunity, we are not going to sit on it. That's for sure.
You know, you can answer that, Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that we actually been noticing over the last few years is multi-generational living.
Oh yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's becoming more popular because of the expense. My kids, we own a couple townhomes. They're living in those, but they couldn't afford it, mm-hmm. or even the rent if it wasn't for us.
Right.
And so it's a very interesting time for the next generation too, because the expense and the jobs, income, the coming jobs, doesn't outweigh what the cost is of living.
Right.
When I left Hawaii 5 years ago and came here, groceries were cheap compared to Hawaii.
Yep.
Now I'm paying exactly close to what I was paying in Hawaii now, years later. Now I know it's way more expensive there now too.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is the cost of living just keeps going up, up and up, and it's not sustainable for the next generation.
No.
If I didn't make some of the financial moves that I've made over the years, I wouldn't be able to help them.
Yeah.
And people are in that thing. And that's where I'm talking about people losing hope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Is they're looking at their circumstances. They're looking at everything around them. And it looks like there's no hope. But there is.
Yep. And I want to get to Travis. And then with the minutes after Travis talks, Greg, I want to go back to you. Travis, in this Lenten season, talk to young people and what your hope is and what you look forward to in the world today.
Yeah, I mean, we keep hearing revival, right? That's what I hope for, right? Is revival. I see it. Like when we do family dinners at Greg's house, seeing this younger generation just like on fire, that gets me excited for sure.
Wonderful.
You know, and seeing that in my kids and really cultivating that with them. My wife and I get stronger in our faith every single day, right? So
wonderful.
There's things that we're doing, we're cutting out of our life in hopes that it benefits our kids and our most importantly our relationship with God.
Wonderful. Greg, I want to give you some time. First of all, I want you to piggyback on that. Talk to people right now that are feeling a lot of stress and anxiety and in this season that we're in. And what can you say to them?
What I say is this, is we can't put our hope in the world and our circumstances. I used to take mission trips to Mexico. And these kids would be living in cardboard, you know, huts.
Yep.
And they would be in the streets happy, right? Playing, happy, and everything. They weren't looking at their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
They kept their eyes on their family values. They kept their eyes on the good things. And I think if we keep our eyes on the good things and we look at least we have our health and we have our family, we should have joy. You know, in that. And as soon as we get caught up in the news and all the negative, what you find yourself is you being negative, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing I love about this next generation is they're not caught up in a lot of the news stuff. As I see, like I mean, we'll have about 50, 60 people at family dinner twice a month. And a lot of those are young people.
I wonder why your groceries are so high.
Exactly. And what's really cool is they're not talking about circumstances. They're not talking about what's going on in the news. They're talking about how to help others and how to make life better.
Amazing.
And they're positive about it. And they're focused on that. They're not looking at, oh man, the economy, da da da. No. I think as we look in that, what happens is we contribute
Yeah.
Yeah. To the narrative.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe they're getting used to something that we aren't. Greg, I want to, we didn't do this last week. I want you to talk a little bit about your book.
Sure.
And, you know, Vestly International. And then what got you wanting to write a book and whatever input that Travis had, and then plug it while you got a chance. We've got 2.5 minutes.
Sure. So we decided to start our own consulting group because we saw a need in business. We saw that a lot of businesses don't know how to keep margin, how to scale. And we've helped companies from 500,000 to 27 million in 5 years. And so the Lord has really given us this ability to be able to look at things, strategize, help them think outside the box, come up with new concepts. But the main thing is sales, right? Because if you don't have money coming mm-hmm. in, it's not going to matter,
right?
You can't do those things. And I've never liked the sales process out there. I believe like a lot of it, you see all these guys talking about how to overcome objections. You see all these guys like how to linguistically programming, you know, pretty much like forcing people through pressure and through these tactics that I don't really agree with.
Yeah.
And so I've, over the years, been the top 1% in different industries, from like timeshare to retail to energy to home services. I've been able to do a lot in sales, but I've always had a process that works. And so the name of the book is called Proof Before Price. Because if you could prove the value of something, people will pay the price. And it can't always be about price. It has to be value. We need to go back to creating value for people and service, right?
Yeah.
Versus just, hey, what's the cheapest thing I could get? Because what happens is they pay more in the long run.
Sure.
And so training salespeople how you could still sell honestly and improve. So I've helped taken guys from like 30% close rates to 70%. That's a lot. That's pretty big. Because the average salesperson is doing about 15 to 20%, maybe 30%.
Yeah, 30 is about the average.
Yeah. And so anyways, I was so excited to help businesses grow, especially, you know, companies that are like 20 million and below, even startups, help them really grow. I love helping people. And I love the strategy and the leadership and culture and development. And so anyway, so the book was really more to help teach salespeople how to be more honest and how to overcome objections before they even come up.
Wow.
And so Travis has been with me for a while. I helped actually train him and in sales side of things. And I'll let him speak to that, kind of about the book. I mean, you've read a portion of the book. It's not completely finished.
Well, we've got, I'll tell you what, we need to just go ahead. If people want to get a hold of you, Greg, we've got 15 seconds left.
Oh, sure.
Do that. Talk about it real quick.
Yeah. So they could go to our website and learn more about the book. It's called Proof Before Price. So it's proofbeforeprice.com. Or they could go also for our services, go to vestlyinternational.com, and they can find more information there.
Guys, Travis, good luck.
Thank you.
Greg, so good to see you. Happy Lent season, Easter to both of you. God bless. Jake, Rural Matters. See you soon.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.